You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God. And as a follower of Jesus, how important it is for us to be people who love the way that Jesus loves. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be going through a few verses. I'm not sure whether it's going to take one or two programs. I just don't rush. When I first started pastoring, I wanted to give the full load of everything that I had every week in a half hour or 45 minutes. And back when I first started, a half hour was a long sermon. I've since realized, you know what I'm more interested in is making sure that the truths of God's word get distributed and understood, and that to me is more important than rushing through a passage of scripture just for a timeline. So I want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. I talk about Dan and Treasure and their team, and they really do a great job. They're a licensed and insured family business. They've been in landscaping for over 20 years. They not only have the Treasure Your Landscape, they also have Space Coast Nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway. And you can see the products that they have. You can see the artificial turf that they know how to install. You can see the putting green. There's a lot of things that you can see with your eyes as to what might be able to make a difference in your outdoor area. They are a licensed and insured family business. They do paver installation, landscaping services. They manage and install drains and downspouts. Their goal is to create your dream landscape. They provide landscape lighting, water features, or landscape repairs. They can design, plant, maintain. Their goal is to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. They are very, very good at what they do. And I mentioned before, they love Jesus and they love what they do. But I believe that probably their greatest impact on Brevard County is they believe in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ across the airwaves to the people here in Brevard County. And I believe that is going to have great benefit for people's eternity here in Brevard County. So we want to say thank you to Treasure Your Landscape. If you're looking to change up your outdoor area, improve it, 321-749-1432 is their phone number should you choose to check into them as a resource. I can tell you they are very, very passionate about Jesus. Space Coast Nursery, their phone number is 321-452-5565. If you want to transform your outdoor area, Treasure Your Landscape can make it a project that you will highly, highly value. And we thank them for their support of the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read two verses for you. Actually, I'll read all the way down to verse 12. We're only going to talk about 2.5 verses. But it says in 1 Peter 3, finally, this is verse 8, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so that's a quote from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. So when the word says finally, it really is calling attention, and it's saying, I don't want to forget to mention this. This is important. And the first thing that Peter writes here is for all of you to be of one mind. The spirit of unity is essential in the body of Christ. So if you were to go back into the book of Psalms and come to Psalm 133, it is a great little psalm. It's only three verses. It starts off this way. It's a song of ascents, which means that it was a song that the people sang as they were making their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. This was a psalm that David had written. It said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If I can drop down to verse number 3, it concludes, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So unity in the body of Christ is absolutely essential. Jesus had said this, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And he was specifically mentioning that about the kingdom of darkness, but it is true in every realm. If your home is divided against itself, that house will not stand. If a church is divided against itself, it will not stand. If a nation is divided against itself, it will not stand. Unity is an absolute essential. And so we are supposed to be of one mind. Now, here's what happens in the political realm. The political realm says that if I'm the person in power, then you are supposed to be like-minded with me. And if you're not like-minded with me, then you're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it because you've got to do what I tell you. And then those same people, if they're not in power, they say, well, you hold the office, but I hold the right position. And therefore, even though you're the one in power, you need to adjust your belief system to believe like I believe. So I thought I would help and give you a definition of biblical unity. Biblical unity is not you thinking the way that I think. Biblical unity is not me thinking the way that you think. Biblical unity is when the body of Christ thinks the way that Christ wants us to think. Where we take thoughts captivity and we bring them and we measure those thoughts up against the Word of God. And we, if we find thoughts that don't align with the Word of God, we change our thoughts. We change our thought patterns. One of the terms that I've heard over the past couple of years that are very important is that you and I can think or develop new neural pathways. We can start to think differently than we've ever thought before. So if you used to think about sinning all the time, Jesus comes in to your heart, renews your mind, and transformation happens in our appearance, in our behavior, because we now think the way we were intended to think all along. So it says, all of you be of one mind. What that means is it means harmonious. Harmony is when people, a group of people, are singing the same song, they're singing the same words, but they may be singing different notes, but those notes work together. And so you will find that on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord, that there was the outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit, changed the way that they spoke, changed the way that they ministered. And as a result, the church grew by thousands of people in one day. So the world has a philosophy, and it says, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. The mindset behind that, and another similar expression is, you know, a leopard can't change its spots. There's a lie from the pit of hell that says that the longer we live, that it becomes increasingly more likely that there will not be any change. Now, the truth of the matter is, if someone gives their heart to Jesus, the majority of people give their heart to Jesus when they are very young. Praise the Lord. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. But there is also plenty of evidence that there are people who have lived a life of sin their entire life, that at some point in time, when given the gospel of Jesus Christ in a compassionate, truthful presentation of the gospel, that they are willing to accept him not only as their Savior, but as their Lord, and they begin to think differently, begin to act differently, begin to treat people differently. The body of Christ, the churches here in Brevard County, need to realize we are not in competition with one another. We are supposed to be singing a harmonious tune that Jesus is Lord, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:20, he stands at the door and knocks, and if any man hears his voice and opens the door, that Jesus would come in and sup with him and he with him. So there's the presentation of the gospel. And as long as we can agree on that, we're going to be in fine shape. We have got to have that one mind. So finally, all of you be of one mind. Division is when there is more than one vision of what God wants to do in a church. And I heard of a situation here recently. It wasn't anywhere here local, but where there was an organization that was supposed to be of one mind and in one accord, And there were some people who did not want to embrace the one mind and the one accord. And they were insistent on the downfall of the organization unless they got their way. And that doesn't bode well. That doesn't hold a great deal of promise for their future. So it says all of us have to be of one mind. You know what that means? That means we have to talk with one another. That means we have to know what the Word of God says. That means we have to be willing to grow and to be willing to learn. It means that we have to be willing at some point in time to say, huh, you're right. That means that there's a possibility that we could be wrong. You know, there's the old saying, I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. There are people who, you know, like Fonzie. I don't remember many episodes of Happy Days when I was growing up, but there's one that I do remember, and it's where Fonzie was wrong, and he just could not bring himself to say the words that he was wrong. If we're never willing to embrace correction, we're going to be difficult to get along with. Guys, if I can talk to you, we're not always right. And ladies, I will say this, you're not always right. So we have to be willing to have a conversation, measure it up against the Word of God, and say, how can we get back to that harmony, that one mind, or being united in spirit that the Bible is communicating to us, that is essential for us to change this world for the glory of God. So 1 Peter 3:8, the verse continues, having compassion for one another. Now, the English translation here has three different words. Okay. The word compassion here, which is not the same word where we were talking about moved with compassion earlier. This word means, like we were talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about sympathetic understanding. And so we understand, we have an emotional response to the people that we're dealing with. We understand where they're at, what they're going through. We also understand what it's going to take to get them to a place of health. So there's the sympathy. The next one says love as brothers. That means that we're supposed to have brotherly love. And then it goes on and it talks about being tender-hearted. And that means compassionate. It is a word that does take its root from that word that means being moved with compassion. So we see three different things here. If we're in one mind, we are going to be sympathetic. We're going to have sympathetic understanding of one another. And the reason that that is so important is because Jude talks about that there are people who speak evil about things that they do not understand. So if I can take you back to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua talks about that there were 2.5 tribes that wanted to keep their portion of an inheritance outside of the promised land. They said, we want to stay over here. And they said, well, wait a minute. You don't get to leave us on our own. And they said, no, we're willing to go in and help you to claim the promises that God has for you as well, your portion. But after that, we want to come and we want to live here. They said, okay. Well, when those 2.5 tribes go back, they build an altar, and that did not sit well with the brethren who had the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and all of that. They said, why are you being unfaithful? If the land is not suitable, then come over to where we are. And there was this tremendous misunderstanding. They were about to go to blows because of this altar. And they said, look, we didn't build this altar as a sacrifice. We built this altar so that your descendants could not say to our descendants, you don't have any inheritance with us because you live on the wrong side of the river. And so there was this misunderstanding that was about to lead to conflict. And once there was an explanation, then all of a sudden they were able to get along with one another again. It talks about love as brothers. So where we have an intellectual and emotional understanding, we also have this motivation that says, look, we're all part of the same family. And as a result of that, we're supposed to be raised in the same culture. We're supposed to value the relationships that we have with one another. So we're not in this thing as a silo. We're in this as a family. So there's that motivation. And then it says that we are supposed to be tender-hearted, and I would have preferred the translation compassionate there, as opposed to up there earlier in verse number 8. But you and I, we've got to make sure that we have a heart that is tender. I remember when I was growing up that there was a song that Johnny Cash had sung, and it was called A Boy Named Sue. And this guy had a son, he named him Sue, and then he went off and he lived a horrible lifestyle, and this boy got beat up and bullied all the time because he was carrying the name Sue, and finally they cross paths in a bar, and they end up having this knockdown drag out fight, and then they finally get to the point where they're having a conversation, and he said, you know, in this world you got to be tough. And Johnny Cash at the end of the song says, so whenever I have a child, I'm going to name him Bill or George or anything but Sue. You know, he wasn't going to repeat that mistake again. And it's actually a kind of a pretty funny way to end that song. But we do need to be a very toughened people. We've got to be able to deal with the hardships and the challenges of life. We don't need to be wilting like flowers in a summer sun. We need to be perseverant enough to press through the challenges and the hardships. But all of the while, we've got to maintain a compassionate and tender heart that will move us to action for the other believers and those that God wants to be future believers. I guess probably the best word picture would be, this is an antonym to being hard-hearted. How hard is it for God to move us from the heart to where we're ready to move to action? Pharaoh was hard-hearted enough, and there's different ways. I mean, if you want to have a callus, you keep dealing with something over and over and over again. And the more resistance there, the more desensitized it's going to be. And, you know, so if you ever shake hands with a person who has a lot of calluses on their hands, you generally know that they do hard work. But at one point in time, they didn't have a single callus. You and I are not supposed to be stiff-necked or hard-hearted when it comes to the things of God or to the people of God. And when you've been in the ministry and there's a lot of people who misunderstand the purpose of the church, you need to understand that there are people who are looking to take advantage of others. And then there are people who genuinely have a legitimate need. And the body of Christ says, look, there's a famine in the promised land. We're going to help out. We're begging you to allow us the privilege of helping out the rest of the body that is there. And so I would ask you today, we've talked about four things: being harmonious or in one mind with other believers, having compassion or having a sympathetic understanding of one another, having brotherly love to one another, and the other is to be tender-hearted to one another. So, out of those four things, how would you assess yourself? And then another question would be, how would others assess you concerning those four areas? But the best question is, how does the Holy Spirit assess us in those areas? If you don't have harmony in your home, well, first of all, if there's no harmony between you and God, there won't be harmony in your home. There won't be harmony in any of your other areas. We need to address that and then address all those other issues as well. May you be of one mind with those around you today. And may you be tender-hearted towards all that God has to do. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.